Well, it's scattered as usual. I was telling the kid, Jersey, he really didn't have a subject and need to come up with something. And Abby and Alyssa both said, well, just talk about Jesus. How can you run out of material with that? Y'all got anything on your hearts this morning? Anything at all?
I just want to say how much I got out of it last week. I just really done a good job. And you brought out some things that I hadn't thought about. Just learned a lot. I appreciate it. Appreciate your study.
Man,
it seemed like you had a lot of liberty to do it.
Appreciate this, brother. I surely enjoyed trying to learn a few things along the way. But appreciate your message this morning. That was good. I never heard that about the mulberry tree, as you'd mentioned. A tree of patience. That's cool. That's something else. I never heard of that. That was a good lesson. The thoughts this morning is more probably related with the time of the year and how we take on a New Year's resolution, as we put it. If y'all are anything like me, we've probably already messed up that resolution. We may mention it or so a few days before, or maybe that evening before, or maybe we don't tell anybody else about it, but we just think, well, I'm going to start this year and I'm going to do this. But a resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. And then as I thought about that, then I thought about the New Year's in the Bible, and we know that's mentioned. They actually have a couple of three new beginnings, as they refer to it, I think in Exodus 12 and 2 and Deuteronomy 16 and 1, we may just hit on those just to say that it is mentioned. But New Year's in the Bible is new beginnings, and it's marked as the first month, as they put it, of Nisan, marked as the new year, or Abib. That month is also given that name. And it begins the cycle, that month begins the cycle of seven major feasts in the Bible. Three of the seven start in the month of Nisan. But Exodus 12 and 2, if you wanted to turn over there, this is when they were brought out of Egypt. And it says in 12 and 2, or just go to 12 and 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. But just noticing that he put a start time on that, didn't he? On this month, it's going to be the beginning of them. But when you think about just like our calendar year now, there's was all in cycles. It was to start a cycle, wasn't it? But it says in Deuteronomy 16 and 1, let me go over there and find that. And if y'all have anything to add, feel free. You ain't going to. Most of these thoughts of mine are very sporadic anyway, so we'll probably do some bouncing around. But 16 and 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. And it says, thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. So we won't get into all of that, but just recognizing that was where that name come from, that month there that was mentioned. But the Passover begins on the 14th day of Nisan. The festival of unleavened bread follows on the next day, the 15th, and the first fruits is usually just a few days after the unleavened bread, and that's mentioned in Leviticus 23:5. But so just as my mind was thinking, what's the Bible say about New Year's? You know, that was kind of what that background study was about. And then getting into the Bible verse of maybe old things. You know, when we think about a new year, we think about the things that of past year, and maybe things that we choose to forget, maybe things that we choose to remember. But in old things, thinking along those lines, go to the book of Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now this was concerning them being exiled to Babylon and whatnot, but he's giving them good suggestions there. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. The New Year's resolutions, millions of Americans probably commit to New Year resolutions, yet most are given up on pretty quickly. I know in my case, it probably is. The goal is usually some form of transformation, getting in better physical fitness or healthy eating or better organizational skills, make things a little bit easier on us. But the best new beginning we could start is a better relationship with God and His Word. We talked about the old past. Let's read about the new beginnings. Ephesians 4 and 21-24. We may go over there and read that. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we have a new year. If we wanted to, I guess as far as tracking it, as far as saying we've been given a new opportunity, we really haven't. We're just starting it over. We just kind of like starting with a clean slate, don't we? We want to get back to the starting of that cycle as we talked about a minute ago. So we are given today, we're given today's breath, we're given today's opportunity to where we can start anew as of a couple of days ago. And you know, it seems like we were talking about these new resolutions. And how many, do y'all ever feel like, well, I've said I was going to start this on this date and I missed it. Maybe we didn't hold up to that, those sweets we wasn't going to eat or that exercise we were going to start. Maybe yesterday morning when we got up, we missed it. Maybe we was going to start off with prayer. I'm going to start every day with prayer. Well, if you miss day one, then you just feel like, well, missed that. Have to wait till next year to start. You know, you feel like you missed that opportunity, don't you? But it's never too late to start a better relationship with the Lord. So if you miss yesterday, then focus on the next 364. If we miss today, then we'll start on the 363 we got left of this year. Never too late to start. But ain't that how the devil works on us? If you set a goal and you miss that opportunity, then he's just telling you, throw your hands up, you missed it. Don't even try.
I think over in Deuteronomy 11, I think goes along a whole lot. Amen. What you're talking about, talking about the year and then talking about dedicating yourself to the Lord, and that's what he commands us to do.
Amen.
I guess he shouldn't have to command us, but... But he talked about over here the land that he gives us.
Amen.
And he said that his eyes was upon it from the beginning of the year to then. That's 11 and 12. Chapter of Deuteronomy.
Amen.
and 12th verse says, in a land that the Lord thy God careth for, and I think it's more than just the land, our possessions, everything the land that the Lord has allowed us to have in our life. He said, for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year.
Amen.
And here's where the dedication on our part, I guess, comes in. It said, and it shall come to pass that if you will hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God with all, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. He said, then that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first and the latter rain.
Man.
And thou mayest gather in thy corn and the wine and the oil. And I will send grass in the field for the cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. But then he warns us, take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside, serve other gods and worship them. So our dedication, if we do make one, it starts slacking off. And
yeah.
If we're careful, we turn it right back to luxuries or mm-hmm. right back to things. But I think it's important that when we start slipping, acknowledge it.
Amen.
I mean, that's the best time to fix it, ain't it?
Amen.
But he promises he'll give us everything that we need. And there's some ifs there, if we serve it.
Stipulations there, things we got to do. Amen.
He said he'll take care of us from the beginning of the year to the end.
Amen. Boy, that did fit right in there, didn't it? That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Appreciate this. That is good stuff. We'd mentioned there in Ephesians, maybe if you want to look towards that as like a new beginning with push away our former life and our old self, the old habits, the things that are not profitable to the Lord. Why can't we set those things aside? And why don't we desire that close relationship with the Lord? And you know it would benefit us. I mean, intellectually, we can just think and just know that that's the truth, but yet we won't give our time and our heart and soul to truly obtain those things. So, how can we get rid of those negative attitudes and deceitful desires? And maybe we'll just, I'm sure you all have had some of the same thoughts. Did any one of y'all have any thoughts towards the new year? Clarissa, do you have any thoughts towards the new year and what you might do to?
I know what I need to do, but I also know me, that I will fail miserably. But I try to never make a so-called resolution just because. But I think being closer to God is my goal. I think it's one we should all strive for. And it's like I love him, but I know I don't love him like I should.
Yep.
And I need his help.
Yep.
In that. And I think personally, I don't know everybody's feelings, but I think we could all benefit to try and be closer to him and to love him more.
Amen. Well, you were saying what I was thinking. That's where I stand with it too. It's like that you have the knowledge to know those things, but yeah, I find myself so short. Just where's the desire, Lord? Give me a little bit more desire. Maybe that'll do it, you know. But then I just keep sitting back waiting for that to hit. Where, why am I not committing myself to really show that there is a desire for him to give me a little bit more desire, you know? We talk about if we'll make one step, I about promise you he'll make two, but we won't make the first step. We stick to our traditions. We stick to our daily routines. What are we willing to change? We even just from the, if we were to just make the little adjustments, why don't we, before our feet hit the floor, when your eyes wake up, when you slap that alarm clock, why can't we just consciously say, Lord, thank you for today. And just be with me. I know before my feet hit the floor, I'm probably going to have another thought that has nothing to do with you. And I'm already heading in the wrong direction. But Lord, keep me just a little bit closer to you. And I guess somewhat that's a resolution, if we just try to change some of that and go towards Him, huh?
Anybody has an opportunity, and I'm not trying to embarrass her, but Brittany posted a beautiful post on Facebook. So if anybody has the opportunity to read that, I would encourage you to. That was her help to me, and that's what she talks about, is challenging us to be closer to God and to love Him more. And that's really what I have strived every day. I mean, it's not just after reading her post that I felt that. But
yeah.
I tell myself that every day, but I fail at it every day for years.
Man. So as discouraging as what that is, how can we find encouragement out of that? How can we find to say, Lord, at least there's something there that's telling me that I need to do better, like what Brother Barry was saying, acknowledging that part. So at least there's acknowledgement. Take that as encouragement to say, at least I'm not thinking about wanting to be with Him. At least I'm putting forth the thought process, whether I put forth any more effort towards it or not. Then maybe the effort there will come after. But you got to start somewhere. You can't have day 100 without day 1. So start with day 1. And let's see if we can't continue that on. Maybe we'll get on a winning streak. Get a few days in a row, huh? I'm sure there'll be defeats along the way. Probably ain't going to have a perfect season. I'll about guarantee you that. But let's try this season. Just staying a little closer to it. Any other thoughts? This is good. I appreciate this.
I know one thing. As I was coaching high school volleyball and even just growing up playing sports and working out and everything, it takes 30 days to create a habit. And it's those first 30 days that you have to push through. And if you push through those first 30 days, it just becomes a habit to you.
Yeah.
And almost an obsession.
Amen.
And we can make obsessions over working out. I know I have friends that used to run, and running was an obsession. If they missed that run, it was just, you know, they couldn't stand it. And I myself, even things, you know, would get obsessed with, you know, riding horses and stuff. If I missed that one day,
mm-hmm.
What would it be if we just be obsessed with God?
Amen.
Just be obsessed with Him. For 30 days, every morning, like you said, prayer, maybe listening to worship songs every day. That's all you listen to, 30 days. It'll become a habit.
Amen. And if we was going to have a habit, why not that be it? Fine advice, Sister Brittany. I had heard that before, and I kind of know what you're saying when you get in that routine. If you miss that, then you're like, boy, I'm just missing something today. I didn't get to do that, and I'm really having withdrawals from that. And I ain't saying tobacco or anything like that. I'm saying like you said, just if you just did push-ups every day, I'll promise you, like she said, day 30, if you didn't do that, or day 31, if you didn't do that, you'd be thinking, man, I really am missing that, something about that. So let's try that with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But why is He the hardest for us to be, or at least for me?
Please.
I know, just like when Mark and I started dating, it was kind of like that. I mean, you go one day without talking to Him or one day without seeing Him, it tore me all to pieces, you know. I wanted to be there. I wanted to talk to Him. I wanted to see Him. I wanted to be close to Him. Well, God Almighty should be far foremost than Marty Netter.
Amen.
I mean, in my life, He wasn't. And even now, you know, I know He is the very one that I need to be close to.
Amen.
But yet, I failed. And I don't know if it's just because we know He's there. I don't know if it's one of those things because I can't physically see Him. I can't physically touch Him. But I know. I feel Him right here. So why is that so hard for me to be close to Him? I don't know if y'all are like me, but I just have the hardest time.
Yep.
Being where Amen. I am.
Amen.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, how I know in my mind, like I know it. And I tell my kids all the time, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. I tell them that all the time. It's
never the wrong time to do the right thing. And my thinking is like prepping them as they get out, you know, and make their own decisions if they get into things that they shouldn't be into. It's never the wrong time to say, I'm going to stop right here and get back on the right path. But then why can I not, why can I say that, but I can't put it into practice?
Mm-hmm.
And then turn around and expect them to do what I say and not what I do.
Lord help. Boy, we're all learning. Or I am. I can't speak for the rest of you, but I'm with you, sister. You know, but isn't that just very similar to our earthly parents? Your children, you obsess over wanting to know that they're willing to do that. But it's like our parents' love, they're seemingly always there, whether we make the effort to go and see them. Now, my dad's been gone a long time. Can't speak for that. But my mother, she lives down in Travis County. It ain't 25 minutes from home, but for me to make the effort to go down there, it seems, it just, I'll find myself a week and a half, 2 weeks at a time before I go down there. But there's never a thought that she don't love me. There's never a thought of there's a separation or there's a need to go and see her, because it's always there. I don't know if that has something to do with it, and I know that's kind of crazy thoughts there, but it's like because she loves me so much, there's no separation, there's no, so it's like, well, she'll always be there. I'll be able to go down and just see her whenever I want to, or and it ain't that I'm that sided. It's just, well, she would understand if I went ahead and did this. She'd be okay if I went and did that, because she's always just wanted us to be able to do what we wanted to be happy. But in return, on the days that I do just stop in there, just out of the blue and just pull in, boy, how much happier is she? Same way with the Lord. Those days we just drop what we're doing and, Lord, let it be what it is. I'm going to spend some time with you. If something else suffers, it suffers. But it's all right. He gave us the time anyway, didn't he?
I get dropping what we're doing is the hard part, because we sure have this old flesh. And you know, it says that we're to keep the flesh under subjection to the Spirit. And
amen.
That's the battle. I think that's the battle. Just like what you were talking about, we have a desire to want to do better, but do we carry it out? Brittany was talking
amen.
About that desire is not, it has to be established.
Yeah.
And like Brittany said, if you have to do it by habit, you know, a cup that's half full, he can only finish filling.
Mm-hmm.
But if we empty ourselves of ourselves,
yeah,
he can fill us up with his will. There's an old song about keep me in your will,
yeah,
so I won't be in your way.
Amen. Amen.
I think the key to what everybody's trying to say, we all recognize we have a want to do better, but we just don't carry it out.
Yeah.
And that has to be established. Like Brittany said, we have to put forth an effort to work on it, that, you know, the Lord could fill us with his will.
Amen.
Me is my problem. Me is my problem.
Amen. Well said. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So we first have to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And there ain't no reason we should ever come up with something that we can't thank him for. We can look towards the new year with joy in our hearts and excited anticipation of what's to come this year, but start with praising him. Rather obsessing over crafting the perfect resolution, make an effort to follow Jesus more closely. That was some of the notes that I was writing whenever I was having these thoughts, but boy, y'all are all saying it much better than what I could.
Before you get too awful far away from what you was talking about a while ago, you was talking about desire. And I've always struggled with that.
Yeah.
I want this and I want that, you know, and they're all just about stuff and all, but I want to do what I want to do. Hard headed. Bodie even told me I was, and I didn't want to do it.
Didn't agree with it.
And I heard a guy talking about a scripture over in the 37th Psalm, 4th verse. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Amen.
And I don't think that's saying that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he's going to give us everything we want, stuff, material things. But I looked up that word delight, and it means to be soft and pliable. Willing.
Mm.
And then he will give us the desire. I'm like you. I've asked the Lord so many times, but, you know, give me desire to study more. Give
Amen.
Me this, give me that, you know. And I think what he's looking at is just, what do I want? Am I willing to just give up my, whatever I'm doing, whatever, you know, and just let him be in charge, you know, not be hard-headed, be soft and pliable. Let him bend and mold and shape me, you know, like a little sapling. You pull mm-hmm. it in all kinds of different directions and make it grow if you do it a little at a time when they're young. And I got to thinking about, you know, saved, lost people don't get saved until it's their will to be saved.
Right.
When his will and our will meet together, that's when he takes the trouble away. And I wonder if it don't work like that on everything, you know. He ain't going to push himself on us.
Yeah.
He don't never, you know, he don't come around uninvited like with me. I mean, I have to want, you know. So, but I believe if I just quit being so hard-headed, he'd give me the desire.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I need. That's where I'm failing that big time. Like Brittany was talking about, and Carissa too. I know if I just do it for a while, then I'd get to missing it if I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I need that desire, you know. I need him to give me that. But I guess it's the same. If I just quit being so hard headed, he'd do that.
Amen. Well, I like it that verse there because it, like you said, it to give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, what does your heart truly desire? You know, in our mind, we're saying one thing, but. We've not shown that. I catch myself like yesterday, day before. I try on Saturday mornings. I'd get up and study some and then try to finish it off Sunday morning. If I hadn't that week, try to be a little bit prepared for Sunday school. And I appreciate the opportunity this church gives me to try to teach a little bit of Sunday school. Not that I'm a teacher, but I sure enjoy learning. And it is something that kind of pushes you a little bit. If you didn't have this opportunity, would I study or would it be just so much easier not to study? Saturday morning, where was I at yesterday morning? I wasn't studying, I was in the woods. And then I try to convince myself, well, I'm alone with my thoughts and I'm thinking about the Lord, but it ain't studying and He knows the difference. Well, then I'll catch up Saturday evening. I'll do a little studying, this and that. And then what I find myself doing, watching football bowl games or something other, you know. And then I finally, yesterday when electricity was out, it's kind of like, well, that took care of that problem, didn't it? Missed about half the bowl games. Well, I got a little time on my hands, but too dark to study now. Can't hardly see. I ain't got any good lamp over here. Got these old candles, they don't shine too good. So I find myself not doing a lot then, so. Finally got around to a little bit of it last night, but it was still just that I didn't put forth that effort. The Lord, and if not doing so, why would the Lord bless you and give you the things of your heart? So I appreciate that verse. That's real good stuff. Anybody else? Had a few other verses there, but. You know, we could probably all take time about and say what maybe if we were to have any resolutions, if y'all got any helpful hints or any thoughts that y'all'd like to add in there, feel free. We've got a lot of questions right now, ain't got a lot of answers. So what can we do? You know, what should we be changing about our daily life? What should we be investing our time in? Is it just a scheduling problem? I know I do a lot of that. Well, we'll do this. And I broke out just enough time. But where on my daily calendar that I plug in my phone, where's that 20 or 30 minutes of Bible reading? I don't seem to have that scheduled anywhere. And it's a shame we got to schedule it, but if you're a scheduler, you ought to schedule it. If you're going to fill your calendar with everything else, why don't put in 15 or 20 minutes there? If you're not a scheduler and you just kind of play it by the way the wind blows, well, that's fine. Just make sure that's on the list to do too. Paul writes to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. And so we'll be going to Colossians here in just a minute, maybe starting in 3:1. But that's located in Asia Minor, about 100 miles east of Ephesus. But I found myself just kind of attracted to this, as it seems to be giving us pretty good instructions. Not necessarily on the new year, but we can adopt it at any given point, I think. So being as we've started this cycle over, this book has been read billions and billions of times by millions of people, I'm sure. So we'll just consider this for me. I didn't put a lot of effort into reading and doing any of this last year, so let me start this year. Let's pick up at 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So, if you're risen with Christ, so you've been dead in your sins, but now being saved, you've been risen with Christ. That's how I'm taking that. Seek those things which are above. You must have a new interest. You need to desire and want the godly things, not our fleshly, worldly things. If you don't have this desire, pray for this. Have we really sat down and just prayed for that desire? I think some have. I think a few of us are finally starting to at least say it, but how about we start doing it? You should want a better and closer relationship with God. You've been raised. He didn't save you just for a comfortable life and not to help others. Get to work, as Brother Jeff put it last week. So, like I said earlier, if you missed yesterday and you didn't get to work yesterday, then start today. If you're not doing such a good job today, like me, then we'll try to pick it up just a little bit. But don't procrastinate. Don't just keep waiting on tomorrow. Go ahead and start right away. 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So affection is a more general word for passion. So set your affection, it says, on the things above. We should have a passion, that desire for the things above. Set it. It said set your affection on these things. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So your life is with Christ. And as an intimate relationship with God, we are with Christ in God. That's how it says it there at the end. It said, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Pretty self-explaining there. In the 5th, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to put to death. Now, I don't think he's saying mortify there your members of the body. Kill these people. I think what he's saying is put to death those sins of these individuals. And we all have them. If we're members of this body and we have sins about us, we need to personally take care of each one of those things that we have. And we need to put that away. We need to put that to death. that said, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That inordinate affection is anything outside of or instead of God that you are willing to suffer for. So inordinate affection. Evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The concupiscence, the tendency of humans to sin, a passionate desire for things that God has forbidden. It says to mortify, to get rid of those, to put those things to death. So there's things there that he's saying to these brethren at Colossus to get rid of this. In the sixth, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the seventh, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And in the tenth, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So to put on the new, it's like putting on, physically, literally putting on clothing is what that is. And it's kind of a metaphor there that it's saying to put on these things that you know to do, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Any thoughts on any of that? So to put on this image of him, Brother Marty mentioned this morning in his message, he was talking about walking in the Father's footsteps and how you'll watch boys do that. Yeah, I'm sure you'll watch daughters do that too, but he'd put it in the context of how one may step out there and take a big long stride to try to stand in their father's footsteps, maybe in the dirt, and they'd have to stretch way out there because their leg length are different. But they try to resemble that, don't they? They try to walk like him, try to talk like him. There was a song years ago by Paul Overstreet that I think, what was it? It was My Father and Me, Seeing My Father and Me. It says, I'm seeing my Father and me. I guess it's how it's meant to be. And I find it more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my Father and me. Why don't we have that closeness? Why don't we have that desire? But when we do, when we get a few things right, we start seeing evidence of that, don't we? We start seeing that love, that generosity, those traits start showing up in our lives. And we ain't all bad people. We ain't good, but we ain't all bad. We've learned a few things along the way. So don't get too discouraged. Just keep trying. It said we were made in the image. Well, actually, I think it says that Seth was made in the image of Adam and we're made in the image of Seth. It's kind of how that works, but I guess that's one and the same. But Adam was made in the image of God, wasn't he? So there's a reflection, there's an image, there's some sort of traits that we should be able to see out of us in the way that we walk, in the way that we talk. Any thoughts this morning?
I like the way Paul was referring to that. Not only are we to put on the new man,
amen,
clothed, but first we have to pull off.
Yeah.
Pull off the old. You've got a coat on, literally. You don't just put another different coat on over it.
Amen.
A work coat on, you don't put a dress coat on, you pull off that. And the Lord, you know, instructs us that we're to go into our closet. I mean, I know that's not literal, but that you can actually think of it literal and let the Lord dress you for the day.
Amen.
But in order for him to clothe us in righteousness, he said that we're to put off. There has to be an effort there on our part to pull off some of this stuff. And if we're all honest, those things that he read off, those sinful nature things,
Amen.
Every one of us is guilty of at least one of them.
Yep.
Probably more. And I've got my own personal weakness that wouldn't even faze you or Teresa. But I'm sure y'all probably got a weakness that wouldn't faze me.
Amen.
And the devil knows just
Amen.
Me. And that's what we individually, I think, have to work on. That we can pull that off, and then we can put on his will.
Amen.
And when we come out of that closet, we're ready for the day, you know.
Amen.
I like the way he sort of illustrated that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anything else this morning? We may be at a good time to stop, welcome in visitors and things like that. But I sure do appreciate y'all's attention. Appreciate your input. It's a good study. Good for me to learn a little bit. If nothing else, we'll consider ourselves dismissed.